Jill Corey's poems have appeared in numerous journals, including Sentence, Harper Palette, and a feature issue of the journal Mannequin Envy, that showcased poets who are also visual artists. Jill's been nominated for the Pushcart Prize twice by Breath and Shadow, a journal of disability culture and literature. And she's had some recent publications in poems in Open Thread, and she has a chapbook that was released in 2009 from Pudding House, and I believe copies of that are for sale tonight, if you just see her back there. And I would really recommend that. Her work is forthcoming in an anthology of prose and poetry from Carnegie Mellon, featuring their MFA, their creative writing alumni, and she also teaches at Duquesne University. And yay, give it up for Jill Corey, yay!
Well, it's great to see both rooms occupied tonight. This is fantastic. Though it's weird to kind of tennis match, back forth. Maybe I'll just redo this light switch. Thanks again, Jane and Jimmy, and everyone for coming out. Of course, to my co-readers, Roberta, Steve, and Nick Schneider. I have a cold, so if you can't hear me, please tell me to speak up. I'm going to read two poems from this chapbook, Borrowed Bodies, on sale for the low, low price of $10. And some new stuff from a manuscript that is slowly coming together. It's called Rounding Down. So this summer has been a really transitional time for me. I've been sort of reaching out beyond my introverted personality and taking a lot of opportunities to get involved in the community. So all these poems, in light of that transitional summer thing, everybody, all these characters are in some way in transition. This is Blue Baby. Before there are words, there is image. Her thin wrist reaches toward the mother through the oxygen tent. Their fish mouths mime love talk like a play without sound. Before there is word, there is wishing. The babies need to taste and swallow everything. This afternoon, she's inhaled the ocean, her lips and nails gray as a storm. Sea lungs as big as skipping stones, her crustacean ribs, how they ride the crests and troughs of breath. Nerves. Oh, skinny girl, full of rage, bleach blonde crew cut, just turned 16 last week, on Road 11, you're just another one of us, crazy, can't leave, can't smoke, can't shower without permission. You can tell it's her first time. I hate her. Razor cuts stripe each cheek like war paint. I want to claw open her pebbly scabs. In the smoking room, she sits too close, scrawny shoulder brushing mine, her precious question, what you in for? I want to sock her in the jaw. Overdose. I'm smoking a cherry cigarette given to me by Barry the Bluesman. He says he smokes them for his nerves and because they give him a special feeling. It's making me nauseous. You want a hit, I ask her. Her mouth turns down like a rose petal, folds under the weight of rain. They make me sick. I exhale, wrangles, and read the paper to fake boredom. A new study just released from Pitt says a person can eat one fish a week from Pennsylvania's rivers. They say our brains will not be destroyed by mercury. I say when we catch rain in our mouths, we swallow coma and delirium and death by the molecule. I take another drag and ask, police bring you in? She smiles, yeah. a trace of glitter nestles in the corner of her eyelids. The last thing I remember, I broke a lamp on someone's head. I smile slowly. You're a little party girl, huh? She laughs, all brave. The kids' ward was full, so they put me up here. They'll send my homework up tomorrow. I feel my ass and thighs spread over the plastic chair. My body's wide, dense as a small island. I have 10 years on her. Could I take her in a fight? Outside the door, someone turns on music way too loud. In 90 seconds, a roving therapist will be here to evaluate this misbehavior, but in the meantime, me and this girl I hate dance together, exaggerated disco in the tiny, ugly smoke room. Outside the door, the blues man eyes her narrow hips, my wild hair flying in every direction, impossibly bright blood red. Okay, these are some new poems from the new manuscript. Cathedral. We sat on the porch for an hour, even when a perfect ball of lightning floated down to touch the wooden railing and disappeared. Our boyfriends inside, teacher and student, both with guitars. My stepdad touches me, Nikki said. He's been touching me for years. I picked arcs of paint from under my nails, flicked them into the hedge. I turned 17 today, she said. One hand raked through short bleached hair. Her tiny room in the cave of the boyfriend's sweatshirt, Huntington Prep. My mom don't believe me. No one else knows. Only 8 years divided us. I, first-year teacher, lost my students once. Museum field trip, towering sarcophagi. A guard stared into me like he knew. I thought, I'm not worthy to be anyone's guide. You don't have to go back. These words caught in the pit of my throat. You can stay here. She brushed off her jeans, made as if to stand. No, that's okay. My train leaves tomorrow. My mom will be upset. We banged the screen door on the way in. The two boys looked up. Nikki is 17 today, I said. We collected candles from the mantels and corners, lit them all so the room became a cathedral. She fell asleep on her carpet. I tied my favorite bracelet on her wrist, whispered good luck, wished I could give her more. So I don't know how many people are familiar with what an obad is. It's a style of poem where two lovers take their leave of each other and happens at dawn and there's larks. So I wanted to write a freaky obad. So I wrote one, a love poem between a person and a place instead. It's called Psychomorphism. Room 601 at the Larksburg Inn has never seen a birth or death. This room has never had a steady lover. The human artifacts, cologne, hairspray, fast food, and sex are sucked out neatly into the larger world. The air conditioner's dusty cough is what stays after the bedfellows have departed. This woman, DeSoto Annie, guest 25684, has never seen a death or birth or had a steady lover. Her suitcase, denim-sided, lacked one wheel. Her shower is long. Her feet, size 6, gently graze the carpet while she caresses her shoulders with lilac lotion. She picks up the telephone to hear the dial tone. In 601, there's something off about it, a stutter barely audible. The room wants to hold her. The closet door is slightly open, though she has not put away her clothes. The mattress is too soft, like a hug. The room whispers, I receive. At her touch, the curtains meet. The morning brings not larks, but air brakes, car horns, rolling carts, and children's screams. Despite this, Annie sleeps too late. She's forgotten the alarm. The pillow whispers, Annie, Annie. But it's time for another shower, another call. Annie's fingernails are short and straight. They skate across the nightstand when she sweeps the key and a book of numerology into her purse. 601, 6 plus 1 is 7, she thinks. Lucky 7, and locks the door behind her. If it's not possible to be reborn, at least I can be clean. So before I went back to school, I couldn't get my act together, so I worked as a life insurance claims processor. I know that sounds odd. I saw a lot of death certificates, and this may be of dubious legality. I sort of copied down some of the information. Not the names or addresses or, you know, identifying details, but some of the... It was sad. So... I guess I wondered in this poem, what happens in the moments before you know you're going to die? The poem is actually much lighter than the title would suggest. I guess I explore these issues by going into the realm of the surreal rather than into the realm of the grisly. So the poem is called May Polish, and the certificate says, cause of death was suicide by incised stab wound to right internal jugular vein. Victim was a 65-year-old white female. Time of death at 7:50 a.m. And I was stunned by the woman's age and the time of day and the fact that it was a suicide. And I thought, what happened to you before you decided to do this? Barely 7, and already the sun seems too large for the sky. The radio commercial keeps repeating, what magical times these are. She puts on purple lipstick and polishes the silver. First carefully opens the scratch wooden case, then laying out each utensil on the tea towel embroidered with apples. She sees the announcers as caricatures, heads and voices, happy and taut like helium balloons. Shoo, what a heat wave, and it's only me. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? On the towel, the silver heads are sewed, the bodies modeled like cheap tin soldiers. But clean, their faces gleam, age abraded into youth. The caustic polish stains her rag yellow pink. A breeze blows in from the yard, trails the smell of melting asphalt. High cirrus clouds strafe the square of sky in the window over the sink. She sees a yellow dog leap into the neighbor's pond, paddle after some invisible prey. One more. Is that okay? Sorry. One more poem. This is another one from the chapbook. And it will be my last poem. And this is for my mom. May we be ever so complicated. New growth. Mother, you are hard to heal. I've nursed you for weeks. Sometimes I wake to find two shores of skin have met over a wound, but the layer of cells is thin. A stray fingernail will cause a rip. I watch as, in a moment of anxiety, you pull yourself apart. When you rise in the morning and try to stand, your ankle joint bends like rubber. You walk all sprung, your foot like a prisoner's ballast. If knowledge could be gained in sleep, I'd have taught my hands how to create something from nothing by now. I don't understand the medical names, just that your nerves are dying. You sit in your studio. The full spectrum light shows all the places where age has smeared your lines. The clay is a dumb ball in your hand. Inspiration won't come. Meanwhile, your porch eases its way into swampland. The blue bottles and horseflies turn eerie circles, speaking the electrochemical language. My skin sloughs silently from me. A daughter gives even this, if this is what it takes. You swirl your fingers in a bowl of slip water. They return brown and fertile. Now, just pick up the clay to feel it in your palm. Pay no mind to the rightness or wrongness of shape, whether the thin walls will hold if fired, whether you should be building around a wall or skeleton instead. Please don't think. start anywhere. Thanks.